Hare Krishna devotees. I'll read our dedication, invocation, and you can repeat after me. Nana Shastra Vicharinai Kanipano Sadharma Samstapako.
Nana Shastra Vicharinai Kanipano Sadharma Samstapako.
Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo.
Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo.
Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko.
Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko.
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuryago Sri Jiva Gopalako.
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 Half of my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they're honored all over the three worlds, and they're worth taking shelter of because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Sri Sad Goswami Prabhu ki
Jai.
Srila Rupa Goswami ki
Jai.
So we said last night that if anyone having read through all the 64 different activities of devotional service that are there in chapter 6, if anyone felt they'd like perhaps a little elaboration perhaps on any one or two, then we could do that. Radhika Prasad, Devi Dasi.
As the Goswami Prabhupada translates that, apart from the main limits of devotional service, taking shelter of the Guru is the most important. So why is that not one of the main?
Okay, good point. That's a good point, actually. Right, so you've got the first three, accepting a spiritual master and so on, all to do with accepting or the relationship with the spiritual master, said to be the main ones or the most important ones. And then you've got the last five, which are kind of described in the same ways, like most important or something like that. So the idea is this, that in the context of taking shelter of the spiritual master, rendering devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, which is like the very foundation. Without that, you can't really be Krishna conscious. So when you've got that, when you're Krishna conscious, in other words, when you're in Krishna consciousness through being connected to the spiritual master, then those five activities within Krishna consciousness are the most important activities. But without Krishna consciousness, without that foundation being there, then you're kind of, the other five or any of the others are not really going to apply very much. Does that make sense? Okay, anyway, that was a good one. Anyone have another one perhaps that we could look at? If not, it's okay, but if anyone does. Sorry, yeah.
Luke number
31.
It says one should take all kinds of risks and perform all endeavors for Krishna's benefit.
Right. Now, do you know where it is? It's number 31 out of the last 45, is it?
Yeah.
So do you know where it is in the other chapters?
Being elaborated upon.
Yeah. Which chapters are them? Performing all endeavors for Krishna, is it that one?
Yes.
Huh?
I don't know where it's elaborated.
No, I'm suggesting that you find it. Do you think it's that one?
It's in the chapter 6. It's listed in chapter 6.
Yeah, I know it's listed in chapter 6. But where is it elaborated upon? Because, you see, we should have a look at that. Is it performing all endeavors for Krishna? It's number 31, yeah? So, what now? We'd have to locate, because it'd be nice to, you know, rather than me just do some mental speculation, it'd be nice to see what Srila Prabhupada actually says. I suspect, let's see.
Page 56.
50, no, okay. My computer doesn't have pages. But what's just before it and what's just after? It's 31. Offering a favorite article, always be a surrendered soul, offer water to Tulsi. Let's have a look here. Aha! Yes, it's performing all endeavors for Krishna. It's in chapter 11. Okay. Can you see that? Yeah, that's the one. In the Narada Pancharatra, there's a statement of how one can act in all spheres of life for the satisfaction of the Lord. It is stated there that a person who's actually in devotional service must be engaged in all kinds of activities, those prescribed in the revealed scriptures, and also those which are accepted for livelihood. In other words, not only should a devotee engage himself in the prescribed duties of devotional service, which are mentioned in the revealed scriptures, but he should also perform the duties of his practical life in Krishna consciousness. For example, a devotee who has a great establishment or factory may offer the fruits of such a material possession for the service of the Lord. Now, you might say that doesn't really sound like what is said here, number 31. One should take all kinds of risks and put oneself out on a limb for Krishna. But that's Prabhupada's explanation, actually. But just, you know, if we just take this at face value, number 31 there in chapter 6, you know, one way of looking at it is that devotees should not be too keen or concerned about staying in comfort zones. You know, my transcendental comfort zone, where I don't have to do too much, and then I can get enough sleep and enough prasadam, and, you know, I don't have to be in anxiety too much, I don't have to work too hard. Yeah, actually, at least in these terms, you know, it's as a general idea in Krishna consciousness, we should try to do something for Krishna. We should really try and do something. He's done so much for us, and Prabhupada literally risked life and limb for us. So to reciprocate, we should try to do something. You know, stand up and be counted as devotees. Yeah. So therefore, it's nice if everyone who's trying to be serious about Krishna consciousness, if everyone, for example, can have some regular service, meaningful service that they do, rather than be, as we sometimes say, simply permanent. What's your service, Prabhu? I am a permanent member of the audience. What's your service, Prabhu? Eating prasadam at the Sunday feast. I'm trying to reach pure devotional service in that. So, you know, we should actually try and do something. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're living in a certain area, try and start a Namahatta or a Bhakti Vriksha. Yeah. Or if you can get to a temple, ask the temple authorities, look, there's Namacharya Prabhu. You can ask him, can I please have some regular service? And you can work out the details of what will be practical. But actually do something for Krishna. When the Christmas marathon comes, the Prabhupada marathon, try to really get out there and do something for Srila Prabhupada. How does that sound? Yeah, in general, that's a pretty good idea. Anyone have one last one? Yes?
Number 28.
One should think of the
Lord as one's
own. Okay.
So that's in chapter 11.
It's also in chapter 11.
Devotional service and
friendship. Is it that one?
I think so.
I guess it must be, yeah. Okay.
So there they talk about, well, Prabhupada talks about Draupadi and saying how she considered the Lord to be
a friend. Right.
So I just want to know
Raj
could elaborate on that.
Okay. See, I'd say basically, first of all, that's a pretty intimate or elevated level of devotional service. None of us are on the Draupadi level at all. So if we look at it as an elevated part of devotional service, you can see it in these terms. Prabhupada says that there are two types right at the beginning there of the explanation. Devotional service and friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. So that's for very advanced devotees. But for us, we should, like we mentioned yesterday, wasn't it? Or was it the day before? No, it was the day before. About favorable attitude. We should have friendly attitudes, favorable attitudes towards Krishna. And we should really try not to get angry with Krishna. And not get upset with Krishna, and not become cranky with Krishna. You know, seriously. Even if sometimes Krishna does something a little, you know, unexpected, we should still be able to take it. This is Krishna's mercy. Thank you, Krishna. And try and deal with it in those terms and not get drawn into that wrong consciousness of becoming negatively minded towards Krishna, which can happen and sometimes does with some. I don't know, did I ever tell you all about my experience in April in Estonia? Didn't I? Well, I thought I told everybody. Let me tell you this one. It's quite a good one, actually. So I was flying from Estonia to Lithuania, you know, these two places in North Europe, you remember, on a flight which stopped somewhere in between, and I had to get on another flight and then go on to the destination. So to cut a sort of medium length story short, the first flight got delayed and I had an important meeting with a government official in Lithuania to get my residence. I have a type of residence, EU residence in Lithuania, and it seemed clear that I was going to miss the second flight and then miss the appointment, and it just wouldn't be good. So I started getting a little anxious and like, Krishna, come on, Krishna, listen, you know this is important, right? And that sort of thing. Then anyway, then we were flying eventually, and then there's an announcement on the plane that we cannot land in the place in the middle. We have to go somewhere else because there's a problem in the airport. And I thought, oh no, Krishna, please. You mean we're going to go back to the first place or just go way out to some other place? And then there's an announcement that there's a bomb in that airport in the middle, and so we definitely can't land there. And I thought, oh Krishna, that's it, that's all we need, a bomb. And then they said, so we have to go to another airport. Right, sure, I know that. We have to go to, straight to, the airport I wanted to go to, the destination. And then I thought, oh Krishna, I'm so sorry, Krishna. I'm serious. I actually, in my mind, I apologize to Krishna. Really. I mean, we have to be honest. So, yeah, from time to time, all of us, including you, little situations will crop up. They will, because it's the material world. And if it's not just a matter of it being the material world, but Krishna just does things sometimes, just to kind of shake us up a little. So we have to be ready for those things. I mean, not necessarily the circumstances as such that may arise, but just like the principle of understanding Krishna is there, and that actually he has my good at heart. You know, he is benevolent, he's not malicious, and therefore, you know, as long as I'm trying, not if I'm just sort of slacking around and fooling around, but if I'm really trying my best, whatever arrangement Krishna makes, it will be for my best. And so I shouldn't become, you know, sort of like tense with Krishna. You get the idea? Yeah. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go on now to what we're going to look at tonight. We're starting with chapter 15. You remember, or I hope you wrote down, that the section on sadhana bhakti, or it's referred to as a wave in the eastern part of the ocean of nectar of devotion. The second wave is the wave of sadhana bhakti. Chapter 2 to chapter 5, we're introducing the subject of sadhana bhakti. You know what sadhana bhakti means now, right? Right? Yeah. Practice. Practicing devotional service. Okay, so 2 to 5 was a general introduction to sadhana bhakti. And then 6 to 14 is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. 6 is just listing out all the rules. 7 to 14 basically is going through all the rules with some explanations and different relevant verses quoted and so on. Then the third wave, no wait a minute, the third section, or what should I say, the third wavelet, maybe, subwave in the second wave, the third part is this now, chapters 15 and 16, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And we've given you a few verses there. Chapter 15 and chapter 16, they're exploring two quite, you know, fairly separate parts of the subject. And it's a really deep subject. It's a hugely deep subject. Sometimes a very controversial subject too. But you remember we read in chapter 2 where Prabhupada first of all said there are these two parts or two types of sadhana bhakti. One is rules and regulations, and the other is when a person gets more sort of inspired and spontaneous about it, and enthused like that, and not just simply doing things because they have to, and not doing things just because they're just not meant to do them. Okay, that was little, you know, not even the tip of the iceberg, actually. I mean, sort of like the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. Now we're going to get into the actual subject matter. What is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti? Let me just, first of all, let's just analyze the word Raganuga. Rag means loving attachment. Yeah. Deep, loving attachment for Krishna. And Anuga means following. So, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti means then the practice of devotional service following rag, or more specifically, following people who have rag. Do you get me? That's really it. Following people who have rag, and through following those people, learning about it and developing rag yourself, developing deep loving attachment to Krishna. Let's now, just to get into the subject, look at the first two paragraphs in chapter 15. I'm just going to read them through quickly. Examples of spontaneous devotional service can be easily seen in Krishna's direct associates in Vrindavan. The spontaneous dealings of the residents of Vrindavan in relationship with Krishna are called Rag Atmik. Now, devotees, Hare Krishna. Depending on which version of nectar of devotion you have in front of you, if you have one at all, it may say Rag Atmik. It may say rag anuga. Just to spice things up. The latest version of Nectar of Devotion, whoever's got one, you know, it's got kind of whitish, yeah, this version, just lift it up so people can see that, see, kind of whitish, yeah, that's it. That's, it's correct, it's the most recent version. The term is rag atmik. And in the older versions where it says rag anuga, it is a mistake, devotees. It is human error, not by Srila Prabhupada either, but by the devotees who put the book together back, way back in the old days. The devotees in Vrindavan, means Goloka, Vrindavan, they are not Raganuga, they are Rag Atmik. What is Rag Atmik then? So Rag, we already mentioned Rag, loving attachment for Krishna. Atmik basically means within yourself. Yeah, within you, within the person. They themselves have Rag. Yeah, so, okay, let's just go back to it again. These beings don't have to learn anything about devotional service. They're already perfect in all regulative principles and have achieved the spontaneous loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, the cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna do not have to learn by austerities or penances or yoga practice how to play with him. They've passed all tests of regulative principles in their previous lives. And as a result, they're now elevated to the position of direct association with Krishna as his dear friends. Their spontaneous attitude is called Rag Atmik Bhakti. Now, let's see, if we just quickly look at our verses. Just have a look at your verses. The very first verse. Well, actually, okay, let's just, while we're at it, just look at these two verses. The original habit, these are both from, actually, they're one, the second verse is just the immediate next verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjalila, chapter 22. The original inhabitants of Vrindavan are attached to Krishna spontaneously in devotional service. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service, which is called Ragatmik Bhakti. When a devotee follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan, his devotional service is called Rag Anuga Bhakti. Now, my dear lads, just stay calm, okay? Well, you were calm. He's good. You got to stay a little more calm. All right. All right. Otherwise, you may have to play outside. And let's read the translation of the next verse too. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to one's natural inclination to love him, and is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord, that state is called transcendental attachment, and devotional service according to that attachment is called rag atmik, or spontaneous devotional service. Let's just head back to Nectar of Devotion, the second paragraph, all right? Chapter 15. Sri Rupa Goswami has defined ragatmik bhakti as spontaneous attraction for something while completely absorbed in thoughts of it with an intense desire of love. Devotional service executed with such feelings of spontaneous love is called ragatmik bhakti. Let's just stop there for the time being. Okay, so this is the basic idea. that the devotees in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost of all, they are ragatmik devotees. They have rag for Krishna, loving attachment, which is so strong that it overshadows or even overwhelms any other consideration or conception of Krishna other than the loving relationship. You get the idea? So Prabhupada mentioned there the cowherd boys. They have loving attachment for Krishna as their friend. And they're just so much, you know, obsessed is not a suitable word really, but it may give a little bit of an idea. They're just so much, totally, 108% at least, totally loving him like that and relating with him like that and just with him all the time like that and seeing him like that and he interacts with them like that, that's the only way they see him. And if anyone says to one of the cowherd boys, hey, you know what? Krishna's God. Then the cowherd boy will turn around and say, what? Him? He's not God. He's my friend. Yeah. And just a little one which sort of struck my attention some years ago. After Krishna left Vrindavan, Uddhava came with a message from Krishna, and he visited Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and they are just, you know, in so much separation from their son, Krishna. And Uddhava had this message, and he preached to them also, that listen, Krishna's God, he's everywhere, so he hasn't actually gone anywhere, he's still with you. Because he's God. And so Uddhava's preaching to him like that, and then Nanda Maharaj says, that's very nice. You know, I'm so happy to hear about your Lord Krishna. But he's basically not interested in his Lord Krishna. He's interested in his son, Krishna. So if you get that, then you've kind of got the idea. You've got the idea. What is ragatmik bhakti? Yeah. That loving attachment in a certain relationship which just has overwhelmed and overpowered everything else to the point that there is no conception of Krishna beyond that relationship. Yeah. And so Krishna just becomes just the friend, or just the child, or the lover, or like that. So that's the idea there. Okay. Now, then, in the same second paragraph, is it? Yeah, same second paragraph. Prabhupada says, devotional service under the heading of Raga Atmik can be further divided into two categories. One is called sensual attraction, and the other is called relationship. To get technical, the Sanskrit terms are Kam Atmik, Kam, K-A-M, which means, you know, generally means like sensuality, desire. Kam Atmik or Sambandh Atmik. Sambandha means relationship. So there are basically two types then of Rag Atmik Bhakti. One is the sensual attraction means the gopis. And then relationship basically means everybody else in Vrindavan. So everybody in Goloka Vrindavan is a rag atmic devotee. There's no one sort of, what do they say? Like a wet blanket in Vrindavan who's saying, listen folks, Krishna's God, come on. Stop thinking he's your friend. No, they all just think he is just, one of the village boys, and that's who he is. At least that's the basic idea. I mean, there are sort of technicalities, but we won't go into them. Now, there are also, outside of Vrindavan, in Dwarka, there are some devotees who are ragatmik, like the queens in Dwarka. They're generally ragatmik. Same idea. They are generally not aware that Krishna's God, but they just think of him in terms of their particular relationship. So you've got the queens in Dwarka. And you get a few others, like you see in Bhagavad Gita how Arjuna, when he sees the universal form, he goes into shock. I thought you were my friend. We used to sit together, joke together, and so on. But now I see you like this. My God, literally. So you get some devotees who are sometimes rag atmik and sometimes not. Yeah. Yeah. In Vaikuntha, because, where the, Mathura, Hastinapur, that's not really part of Vaikuntha, it's more part of Goloka. But outside of Goloka, I mean, the broader Goloka, including Dwarka and Mathura and these places, in Vaikuntha, there is no rag atmik bhakti, generally. And therefore, like Sita in Ayodhya, Ayodhya is in Vaikuntha. Sita, she's the wife, but Ram is her lord. Yeah. I mean, there are touches of rag atmik in Sita. There's some rag atmik element in Dasarath when he becomes overwhelmed in separation and dies. Otherwise, generally, these people are not rag atmik. And beneath Ayodhya, there's no rag atmik bhakti at all. It's all awe and reverence and Krishna's God. Okay, let's see. Okay, I think that's enough, on that, just as a little outline and just to get the sort of the basic idea of what's what. Let's go on to chapter 16. Now, in the old chapter 16, you've got the new one, right? Yeah, okay. You see, this first little section called relationship, it actually belongs, devotees, in chapter 15, because it's about ragatmik bhakti. Yeah. Don't mind me saying things like this, but actually it's true. 15 is about ragatmik bhakti. 16 is about raganuga bhakti. That first little section there it belongs in chapter 15 because it's about ragatmik bhakti. So really chapter 16, you could say, begins where the heading is there, eligibility for spontaneous devotional service. And let's just read what are we meant to read here. First couple of paragraphs of chapter of that eligibility for spontaneous devotional service. persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis. Vrishnis means the devotees in Dwarika, who are Krishna's family members, who in many cases are Ragatmek. But particularly the Vrindavan devotees, who are all Ragatmek. So persons desiring to follow in the footsteps, particularly of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, are called Raganuga devotees. Because they want to serve Krishna in the same ways. They're attracted to serving Krishna in those ways, as a friend, as a lover, as a parental type of person. So therefore, they follow in the footsteps of the Ragatmik devotees. Therefore, they are Raganuga. And they're particularly Raganuga because they generally select, not just select, but they find themselves attracted, or even perhaps more suitable would be the word, impelled towards a certain devotee or a certain group of devotees, like, you know, the mothers or the fathers or the cowherd girls or the cowherd boyfriends. Yeah. So they follow, the idea is to follow that rag. You get the idea? The particular rag, the particular loving attachment that that particular devotee in Vrindavan, or maybe group of devotees in Vrindavan, have. Okay. So, let's see. These Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly, but by spontaneous nature they become attracted to some of the eternal devotees such as Nanda or Yashoda, and they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. There is a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raganuga. So you see, there's a bit more to it than just becoming inspired enough to get up early in the morning without, you know, having to be dragged out of your sleeping bag or your bed. It's a deep subject. It's really deep. So, next paragraph. We must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Vraja is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, there's a stage called anatha nivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes someone is found imitating such devotional love, but factually he's not freed from anathas or unwanted habits. It has been seen that a so-called devotee proclaims himself a follower of Nanda Yashoda or the gopis, while at the same time his abominable attraction for mundane sex life is visible. Such a manifestation of divine love is mere imitation and has no value. When one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there will be found no trace of any mundane contamination in his character. Therefore, in the beginning, everyone should strictly follow the regulative principles of devotional service, according to the injunctions of the scriptures and the spiritual master. Only after the stage of liberation from material contamination can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees in Vrindavan. Are you following?
Yes.
Or have we lost some of you somewhere? Is that sort of clear enough, the idea? I think it should be. In other words, another way of putting what Prabhupada just said in the last one or two paragraphs is that even though Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is part of Sadhana Bhakti, it's not part of, you know, like some perfect type of bhakti. It's part of sadhana, it's part of practice, but it can only occur when a devotee who is practicing sadhana bhakti has become very advanced in sadhana bhakti. You know, I must admit, I will not mention any names, but one of our dear devotees, and he's still one of our dear devotees in Gauteng, when he was really a beginner and before he was initiated, he approached me and he said, you know, I've been reading Nectar of Devotion and I saw there are two types of sadhana bhakti. One's Vaidhi, rules and regulations. One is Raganuga, spontaneous. And he said, you know what? I think I'm going to do Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. It sounds, you know, nicer to me. Sorry, folks. You know, it's like it's a different dimension. So, here's another extremely important point to understand. Well, the first thing would be, how is a person, or should I say, Lord Chaitanya says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Noi Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Kareye Udoi, that love for Krishna is eternally present in the heart of every living entity and cannot be acquired from an external source. So the thing is, our loving relationship with Krishna and its particular nature, you know, as whatever it may be, it might be a gopi, it might be a cowherd boy, it might be someone in Vaikuntha also. But whatever it is, it's already there. So, as devotees advance, if you read, I think it's Narada Bhakti Sutras, Prabhupada makes the point that when a devotee comes to the level of asakti, you know what that means? Asakti. Just before bhava, it's the last stage, final stage of sadhana bhakti, of practice. Prabhupada makes the point that generally on the level of asakti, a devotee becomes aware of what his or her eternal relationship is with Krishna. And in bhava, they more or less enter it. So, those who have eternal relationships with Krishna, particularly in Vrindavan, or maybe amongst the higher group in Dwarika, they will find themselves becoming attracted to that type of devotional service, which is natural to them in their eternal state. You know, I mean, it's sort of pretty logical, really. So, those who have eternal relationships with Krishna in Vrindavan, particularly, they'll find they become attracted to Vrindavan, to that type of service, to those types of devotees, the Vrindavan devotees. First of all, maybe in sort of like a general and vague way, but then after some time, like a real attraction, or we use the word impelled, they may feel themselves driven towards that type of devotional service. So for such devotees, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is possible. And they'll just sort of naturally go into it because it's their eternal relationship with the Lord just starting to manifest, yeah, and show itself, which is already there. Those who have an eternal relationship in Vaikuntha will find that they're attracted to the Lord in Vaikuntha, and that type of devotional service, those types of pastimes. And devotees, try to understand this, they will not take up Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. They will continue in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to the point of perfection. Yeah. This is how it works. Are you getting me? Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, those are important things to remember. And we have on our verses sheet, we've given you a couple of verses there, three verses. We're not going to go through them because they're kind of covered in what we read. But that's basically the idea. That some devotees, as they become, you know, really quite advanced in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, will just find themselves driven towards Vraja Bhakti and become attracted to it so much they'll start following in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan. Others who don't have that nature, they'll just carry on with their Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and become extremely advanced and gradually enter their relationship with the Lord in Vaikuntha. Yeah. So, oh yeah, okay. Just one little example, which some of you may have read, if you've read Chaitanya Charitamrita, which if you haven't read it, you should. And if you have, you should read it again. And if you read it twice, you should read it three times. And don't stop. But anyway, there's a whole pastime. Lord Chaitanya with Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta happens to be Hanuman. Actually Hanuman. Yeah, he's Hanuman. But in Chaitanya Leela, he's Murari Gupta, and he's close associate of Lord Chaitanya. They're close. So Lord Chaitanya at one point says to Murari Gupta, because Murari Gupta didn't actually, at that point, he didn't really know he was Hanuman. Yeah. Just, you know, it's just the way the pastimes are arranged by the internal potency. So Lord Chaitanya kind of jokingly said to him, "Hey, listen, Murari, why you worship Sita Ram so much?" Because even though Murari didn't know he was Hanuman, he was just into Sita and Ram, as we say in Chatsworth Unit 5, one way. Oh, yeah. He was just full on Sita Ram, and that was it. So Lord Chaitanya, though, jokingly sometimes would say, "Hey, listen, you know, Radha and Krishna are higher than Sita and Ram. You know, I can prove it." And he would prove it. And Murari would say, "Yeah, you're right, you're right." And so Lord Chaitanya finally said, "Listen, give up Sita and Ram and just focus on Radha and Krishna. Come on, get into it." And Murari said, "Yeah, you're right. I got to do it. It's the right thing to do." So the whole night, he stayed up the whole night trying to give up Sita and Ram and just focus on Radha and Krishna. The next day he came to Lord Chaitanya crying, "My Lord, I'm so sorry. I tried and tried. I just couldn't give up the lotus feet of Sita and Ram. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Congratulations, you are Hanuman. I was just testing you to bring out your devotion to your Ishtadeva." So, yeah, so Murari Gupta then He's Hanuman. Hanuman is in Ayodhya. Ayodhya is in Vaikuntha. Hanuman is not really a rag atmic devotee. Don't start thinking that, not rag atmic. He's a small timer, because he's not. He's big time. He's big devotee. But he knows Lord Ram is God. He is my Lord. That's their relationship. He is not rag atmic. And when Lord Ram embraced him, he felt very embarrassed. You know, when Mother Yashoda embraces Krishna, or the cowherd boys, or the gopis, they embrace Krishna, they don't feel embarrassed at all. Because they're rag atmic. They're just in that mood. So as there are two types of rag atmic devotees, sensual or relationship type, there are two types of raganuga devotees. Either kam anuga or sambandh anuga. These are the technical terms. You won't find them in Nectar of Devotion, but they're in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. So some of these devotees, they follow the gopis. I mean, they may follow the queens, but that's when we talk about conjugal ragatmic devotees, pretty much we're talking about the gopis and the queens in Dwarka. They're there, but they're, you know, they're like on a lower level of ragatmic. So the Kamanuga devotees are learning how to serve Krishna in those ways as a gopi, and the Sambandhanuga devotees are following cowherd boys or Nanda or Yashoda, as we read there, Prabhupada was saying. Okay, let's go on now to bhava devotees. Just third day, we're already on the level of bhava. we passed through raganuga. It only took about half an hour, and now we're on the level of bhava, and soon we'll be on the level of prema. Hare Krishna, please don't mind. Okay, so look, 17. Let's read the first paragraph. By the process of executing regulated devotional service, this is now talking about through Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one is actually elevated onto the transcendental stage beyond the material modes of nature. At that time, one's heart becomes illuminated like the sun. The sun is far above the planetary systems, and there's no possibility of its being covered by any kind of cloud. Similarly, when a devotee is purified like the sun, from his pure heart there's a diffusion of ecstatic love, which is more glorious than the sunshine. Only at that time is the attachment to Krishna perfect. This is perfect devotional service. No longer practicing, no longer learning, you know, trying to get there, trying to progress. Perfect devotional service. Yes. And spontaneously the devotee becomes eager to serve the Lord in his ecstatic love. At this stage, the devotee is on the platform of Uttama Adhikari, perfect devotion. Such a devotee has no agitation from material affections and is interested only in the service of Radha and Krishna. Let's just quickly look at our verses. You've got the pages there, right? There's a verse there, chapter 17 and 18, the definition of bhava. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but this is the verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada is translating and paraphrasing in this first paragraph. It's a very beautiful verse. Shuddha sattva visheshatma prema suryangshu samyabhak ruchibis chitta masrinya kridaso bhava uchate. When devotional service is situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a ray of the sunlight of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and it is called bhava, or emotion. You know, this chapter 17 of Nectar of Devotion is called Ecstatic Love. Ecstatic love is a translation of the word bhava. Yeah. So, yeah. Wherever the term ecstatic love is used here, it's just a synonym for bhava. So now, what happens in the verse? It's kind of, you know, because it's brief, it's expressed nicely. When devotional service comes to the transcendental platform of pure goodness, what happens when a devotee comes to this level is that the internal energy enters the heart. Yeah. And the internal energy, when it enters the heart, well, it's very powerful. You know, what is not mentioned in chapters 17 and 18, and we will not go through it, is that there are certain specific bhavas, vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, what, vyabhichari bhava, and what's the fifth one, stayi bhava. There are five types of ecstasies, emotional ecstasies. And, I mean, you know, like highly emotional states. When a person's on the level of bhava. And, for example, and there are the sattvika bhavas, there are eight sattvika bhavas, including crying, including the body shaking. Have you read about this a little bit?
Yes.
Anyway, I hope so. So now, crying. We've all cried, right? When did you last cry? So we all cry. I mean, we've all cried at least, you know, at least in our childhood. But now this crying is different. I'm just giving one example, just so you get the idea. The internal potency actually comes down a ray from the sunlight of prema. The internal potency comes into the heart and illuminates the heart. And as a result, there are different responses from the physical system. When the internal potency contacts the element water in the body, then water starts coming out of the body. You could say tears start coming out, but it's not just tears. Yeah. When Lord Chaitanya was dancing in the Rath Yatra, water, you know, tears, but you could say also water, was spraying out of his eyes like out of a hose or syringe. So in other words, the tears of a devotee on the level of bhava, stimulated by the internal potency of the Lord, is not just tears like, you know, we cried some tears before. This is like water starts pouring out of the body. And we've all trembled a little when we've been cold. I remember once standing outside an aeroplane in Moscow airport. It was minus 10. And I was dressed more or less like this. And it was minus 10. I don't know if you've ever been in minus 10. For about 15 minutes. And by the time they let us on the plane, I had almost lost it completely. My body was shaking so violently. But now when the internal potency comes down, the person's body may shake so violently that like joints may become dislocated. We're talking about a very powerful thing. Yeah. It is like bhava, according to the verse there, it's like a ray of the sunlight of prema. Yeah, prema, surya, angsu. Surya is the sun. Angsu means a fragment or like a ray. Prema is like the full sun. Bhava means the sun is just sort of rising, coming up. It's that sort of stage. This is like, you know, you could say the relationship between bhava and prema. Bhava is prema, but it's just a little bit of it. Therefore, it's distinguished from prema. Although bhava is a ray from the sunlight of prema, but it's just a ray. And the example is given like early in the morning. You look at the horizon, you know, some light is coming, but you can't see the sun. And then eventually you see the sun. This is like bhava. But then prema means like in the middle of the day. The sun is there, it's just blazing. But bhava means a little ray from the sunlight. You know, it is the same thing, but it's just a very little bit of it. Therefore, it's bhava is distinguished from prema. I hope I didn't confuse you too much with that. Now, then, there are in, what is it, the third paragraph. Elevation to this stage of ecstasy is possible in two ways. One is by the constant association with pure devotees. The other way is by the special mercy of Krishna, or by the mercy of a pure devotee of Krishna. constant association with pure devotees means sadhana. This is what it doesn't just simply mean just association. It means through the process of sadhana, which, you know, foremost amongst which is association with devotees. That sadhana could be either Vaidhi sadhana or Raganuga sadhana, but it's either one. Through association with devotees in sadhana bhakti, either Raganuga or Vaidhi, a person can come to the level of bhava or by the special mercy of Krishna or some great devotee or devotees. So what shall we do? How shall we come to bhava? Prabhupada explains there, and I won't read the whole thing, but the basic idea, Prabhupada says, normally if someone wants a university degree, they study, they go through the course, they pass the exam, they get the degree. Occasionally someone gets an honorary degree, means they didn't go through the course. You know, Mick Jagger, who, you know, I'm not very fond of, but he's just an interesting case from my youth. He dropped out of the London School of Economics. He dropped out to become one of the Rolling Stones. Later, I mean like 10 years ago, the London School of Economics gave him an honorary degree. Right, I read about it somewhere, some years ago. And one of the professors objected. He said, why are you giving him a degree in economics? What? He doesn't know anything about economics. All he knows is he has a lot of money, which is sort of the main thing, I suppose. But so you can get a degree, Prabhupada explains there, either by just going through the normal course, or you could say, listen, I won't bother. I'll just wait till they offer me an honorary degree. But the problem with that is they may not offer you an honorary degree. So therefore, what we should do, what everyone should do, is follow the process. And, you know, we may come to bhava in that way. Yes, okay. And then in the third paragraph, am I right? What is it? No. Okay, the fourth paragraph, actually. There, we get some examples. The rest of this, well, not the whole rest of this, or maybe the whole rest of this, yeah, the whole rest of this chapter is just examples. You'll see, let's see. The chapter, is it the fourth one? 1, 2, 3. It's the fourth one. An example of rising to the stage of ecstatic love means coming to the level of bhava by executing the regulative principles of devotional service is given is Narada Muni. He's an example. There you go. Yes. And then you go down, let's see. Okay. You go down, not the next paragraph, but the paragraph after. Wait a minute. If you go down a couple of paragraphs, sometimes, do you see this? Sometimes, however, it's found that without undergoing any devotional process, one all of a sudden develops devotion for Krishna. So the following paragraph, there is an example of someone who, just by the special mercy in this case of Krishna, someone came to the level of bhava. Guess who it is? It's Narada Muni, who we just read about. He came to bhava through regulative devotional service. So don't worry, it's not a contradiction. It just means that both elements were there in his coming to the level of bhava, or perfection. Interesting case. And then there's some other examples. Next paragraph, in the Skanda Purana, there's a statement about developing ecstatic love towards Krishna simply by glancing. It's stated there, when the inhabitants of Jungla province saw the personality of Godhead Krishna, they were so stricken with feeling that they could not withdraw their glance from him. They came to the level of bhava just by seeing Krishna. And there are other examples there, which you can read through. We got to move on a little. Let's have a look now at the next chapter, chapter 18. Here you'll see there's a list of 9 symptoms of bhava. How can you tell if someone's on the level of bhava or not? Well, see if they have all of these 9 symptoms. If someone has some of them, or partially has some, means they're making advancement, but they're not on the level of bhava. So, first one, always anxious to utilize his time in devotional service. 2, he's always reserved and perseverant. 3, always detached. You remember we mentioned last night those verses about the 5, well, there was the verse about serving the deity and the verse about hearing the Bhagavatam. You remember that? The person who was speaking, warning the person about don't go and see the deity. He was afraid. You're going to become detached from all material association. Means you're going to come to the level of bhava. Watch out. Be careful. You don't want to do it. 4, he doesn't long for any material respect. 5, always certain Krishna will bestow his mercy. 6, always eager to serve the Lord faithfully. 7, very much attached to chanting the holy names. 8, always eager to describe the qualities of the Lord. And 9, very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, Mathura Vrindavan or Dwarka, or in his house which he has transformed into Mathura Vrindavan or Dwarka. You know, I'm not going to go through any of the details, please don't mind too much. You can always read up in your spare time. But let's go on to now we are suddenly coming to the level of prema. Look at that. Isn't that? Congratulations. Prabhupada's mercy, no doubt. Let's have a look at the verse, because in a nutshell it expresses what is prema and kind of the main things which it is made of. When that bhava softens the heart completely, becomes endowed with a great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord, and becomes very much condensed and intensified, it is called prema, love of Godhead, by learned scholars. So it's the same thing because it's the same thing. It's the full sun as opposed to the sun which is just starting to rise. It's sort of like a hint of the sun, which is bhava. So, yeah. The heart becomes completely softened. Now, we didn't mention it, but in, I think, chapter 17 about bhava, the example is given of Maharaj Ambarish, who Devasa Muni was going to kill him, and Maharaj Ambarish just focused his mind on Krishna, and when he did, tears came. Symptoms of bhava manifested. But only at that time, only under certain circumstances. This is another difference between bhava and prema. The heart is softened in bhava, so those tears of ecstasy may come sometimes. But on the level of prema, they're always there completely. Yeah. The heart is completely softened and just completely awash with transcendental emotion. Then another interesting one in the second line of the Sanskrit there, mamata, mamatva ti shayankita. The term is mamatva. Mamatva means myness. Yeah, twa means like ness. As we had, you know, apartheid, apartness, right? Isn't it? So mamatwa means my-ness. The devotee, you know, on the level of sadhana bhakti, which we're all on, it's always a good idea to think, who am I? What am I? What is my position? I belong to Krishna. I don't belong to anybody else. I don't even belong to me. I belong to Krishna. On the level of prema, one very powerful characteristic is the devotee thinks, Krishna belongs to me. He is my Krishna. Yeah. Now, if we try to artificially cultivate that sort of idea, this will be something like sahajya, you know, in a sort of simple sense of sahajya, taking something cheaply. Yeah, because we're not on that level, and we shouldn't think like that. It's just not right. But these devotees do. An example is Bilva Mangal Thakur. Krishna, he was blind. He was in Vrindavan. Krishna brought him some milk and said, I'll come and get the pot later. In the meantime, Bilva Mangal Thakur, completely blind, he understood that was Krishna. So when he comes, I'm going to grab him and embrace him and just never let him go. So Krishna came. Bilva Mangal Thakur was ready for action. And Krishna came and said, where's the pot? Oh, okay, there it is. And he went to take the pot, and Bilva Mangal Thakur tried to grab him but missed. Krishna just sort of jumped away. And Bilva Mangal Thakur famously said, you can escape my hands, but you'll never escape from my heart. Yeah. This is that. You are mine. Krishna is mine. He's not yours. He's mine. That's an important characteristic of prema. Let's see now. It's the complete sun. There's the complete experience of ecstasy. Oh, and there are two ways of achieving it. Would you believe? Take a wild guess what they are. One is through just serving Krishna in a regulated way or a spontaneous way on the level of bhava. And then the other is by some special mercy. Some people may come to the level of bhava by special mercy. Some people come to the level of prema by special mercy. Yeah. So, and then there are two types of prema. There is the Vaidhi type of prema, in which the devotee has full love for Krishna, but as God, in a formal way and very respectful way. And then there is the type of love for Krishna, it's called Kevala Bhakti, Kevala Prema. Kevala Prema means that spontaneous love for Krishna, that he's my friend or my, you know, child or nephew or my lover. Yeah, two types of prema which have developed from two types of bhava, which have developed from two types of sadhana. And you know, I think devotees, that's about it for the time being. Yeah. Congratulations on coming to the level of prema. Okay. So this is just a little overview. It's a very simple overview. In fact, it's a very simple overview. But hopefully it helped you understand Nectar of Devotion more than you did before. Yeah. Because it's such an important book. And like I say, we just touched on things. Please, now that hopefully you've got a better understanding than you had before, now you can read through it all and go through, you know, there are many details we didn't go into and which will enrich your understanding. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki, Sri Nectar of Devotion ki, Go Premanande, Hari Bol.
Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki.
First of all, thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this book, Nectar of Devotion. And thank you to Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, for giving us this understanding of Nectar of Devotion. I'm sure a lot of us have read But to get it from Maharaj, it's like that fruit that's been touched by a parrot. It makes it sweeter and just enhances the whole experience. So Maharaj, we'd like to really thank you for taking time out and being with us and sharing this wonderful wisdom with us, and also your love that you have for Krishna, somehow passing it on to us as well. So thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
So from all the devotees here, Maharaj, they would like to give you something. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Hare Krishna.
So we'd also like to thank a few devotees who actually made it all happen. First of all, we'd like to thank all of you all. Thank you for coming, and thank you for making it a wonderful opportunity for the devotees to associate. We hope to have more of this in the future. Would you all like to have
it? Yes. Yes.
Thank you. And also for those devotees that have joined us online, we had a bit of uptake of devotees online today. So thank you also for those that are spreading the message. Yogini, thank you for spreading the message, putting it online for us. For those devotees that are doing the camera, Gora and Jayadev Prabhu, thank you very much. I'd also like to thank Sashi Kumar Prabhu, he actually inspired this. He said we should do something like this. And also for arranging Maharaj's schedule to accommodate this. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hello.
A big thanks to Shamohan Prabhu and Ramana Mataji, who's opened up their hearts and opened up their homes and made it all possible. So thank you very much. I'd also like to thank Ramana Mataji's mother. She's not here right now. Please take the message. She's done a lot in the background, helping us do things in terms of operational side of things. Prema Shakti Mataji, she's been a superstar. And Randi Mataji as well. Anita Mani Mataji, thank you. There's a devotee who's not here, his name is Bhakti Brian, he's from Sunny Hill, he's done a lot, thank him. Bhakti Manoj from the market, he sponsored all the vegetables for the last few 3 days. He's in the role for getting the sound right. The BYS for the venue. Especially a devotee, his name is Llewellyn Leonard, Devaki Nandan Prabhu, he actually made the arrangements for the venue. Lastly, we'd like to ask you all, the organizing committee would like to ask you all for forgiveness if in any way we've offended you. So please accept our obeisances. Srila Prabhupada,
Ki Jai,
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj,
Ki Jai.